Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I would sing for you, but I'm just not quite ready yet. This is the day, hallelujah, that the Lord has made. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for the beautiful sunshine. Thanking God for life, hallelujah. And as we get ready to start our word this morning, the word God gave me was, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8 and 8, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't walk in flesh, family. We have to walk in faith. And the prayer that God gave me this morning from my for life is, as I love, to you who are willing to listen, I say, love enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And the flesh in us is saying, oh, I know y'all didn't just say that. You know, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what they said about me. To you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless your sin. I know you didn't say that. Bless those who curse you. The devil is a lie. Pray for those who hurt you. Oh, no, They going to learn who Smith and Wesson is. Contradictions. But not. Romans. Paul says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Am I pleasing God when I say I hate my enemies and I'm going to do everything I can to hurt them? I'm going to curse them. I'm not praying for that dirty son of a gun. I'm not going to do it. Totally against God. But for God, when we get out of the flesh, we can love our enemies. We can do good for those that hate us. We can bless those who curse us. We can pray for those who hurt us. Folks wonder how certain people can forgive those that have oppressed them, those that have enslaved them, those that have treated them horrible. How can they forgive? Because we choose to follow God so that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We want to please God. And as we pray this morning, God, Father, you are overflowing in love to all. You do not show favoritism in the measure you dole out to each. Jesus, when I am being flattened by the weight of unmet expectations in relationships, let me remember your life. Some of your closest friends denied and deserted you, and your enemies put you to death. Even so, you lovingly offered forgiveness for each, even those who hated your guts. Lord, I will follow your humble example. Keep my heart right when offense rears up and I want to get even instead of laying down my rights to retaliation. I am willing to be changed by you, God. You always know the best route for love. Let me not forget that it mostly looks like self-sacrifice. May my heart remain willing to be led by you through thick and thin, mercifully offering what may never be reciprocated. You are worth it. Heavenly Father God, as we learn to love those that are classified as enemies, to do good for those that hate us, God, Bless, and as we pray for those who have hurt us, God, we ask you, God, give us guidance, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us everything we need, Lord God, that we are not in flesh, but in you, for we want to please you, God. So, Father God, I lift up this mighty word today, this Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament word today, asking you as I ask every day, Father God, increase as I decrease, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my redeemer. Cleanse me, Lord God, from the inside out. Remove all flesh from me, God, and with your Holy Spirit, as we move forward in your word, God. Let it touch someone's heart. Let it touch someone's mind. Let it touch someone's spirit. Father God, I thank you, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord God, lifting up this holy and divine word, that it will touch heart, mind, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, and a question again as we start this word this morning. Can you choose to replace the hate in your heart with love, or at least the willingness to love? In other words, can you let go of the flesh and fill up with the Lord? Hallelujah. And this morning, we are in the 91st Psalm. We're in the 22nd Proverbs. With 91st Psalms, we're starting at verse number 1. And we'll be reading verse number 1 through verse number 16. And for our proverb, we will read starting at verse number 12 to verse number 15, about when we get this. And our Romans will be in Romans 6, 7, and 8. This is Bible study. Get your Bible, get your Bible, get your Bible. I am coming out of the New King James Version, but for my King James readers, you should be able to follow me very, very well. The only difference pretty much between maybe a word or two or clarification between King James and New King James is a them and a thou, and a more clarified understanding of what is being written or what has been written. Pretty much the exact same thing, except for, excuse me, it's in a more modern, more understandable language pattern than King James. And so exactly the same. And excuse me, I'm drinking some water this morning, trying to stay hydrated, because I realized on yesterday I did not drink enough water and my joints showed it. So make sure you hydrate, but don't overhydrate. Too much water can kill you. Too little water can also send you to the hospital dehydrated. So hydrate and take care of yourself. And so as we go into our word this morning, please join me in the 91st Psalm. If there is anybody out there as we are going forth that has a word, I feel that there's a clarification you need. Dr. Stanley has given us many life lessons and clarifications of many of the scriptures that we will be reading. And for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And it is our Bible study for this year as well as next year. And then after next year, I don't know what God's going to get me to do. But I know that my assignment is complete 100, every word, January to December, Bible study starting January 1st of this year. Well, actually last year, we started in mid-year in this Bible. This year is the first full year that we are doing the Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible. And next year we will also do it for the full year. So get your Bible. Get your Bible. Hopefully I gave you enough time because we got to get started because I got to go to Sunday school. So let's go. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place. Ooh, I love this verse. Can y'all just absorb the 91st Psalm with me? Take a deep breath and say, oh, Lord, let every word come into my being. Let every word feel me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. You know, when you're going through, there is nothing like the 91st Psalm. It will take you there, and it will get you through. So if I get a little weepy-eyed, know that this is a psalm that takes us to the throne. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my fortress and my refuge and my refuge. You know, Lord, help me. My God, in him I will trust. And I got to read that again. Because I'm getting filled up. Because when we let go of flesh and replace it with God, you can't help but be filled when you know he who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come to you. Only with your eyes shall you look, see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. But he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent, you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a mighty God we serve. And as we go back, I'm filled up. The 91st Psalm just does something to my soul. He shall cover you with his feathers. He covers us with his feathers. And under his wings you shall take refuge. You know, the enemy used the 91st Psalm against Jesus. And I've been working with our children on this word. When Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and had fasted and prayed, when he came out of the wilderness, the enemy came at him with three things. You know, he wanted him to bow down to him, wanted him to change a stone into bread. But this one, this word was when he told Jesus, if you jump off of here, the angels will come and take charge of you to keep you in all your ways. And he tells him, he says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He used that word, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Because he was telling, basically he was telling Jesus, jump off this ledge. Jump off. The angels got you. He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in. He doesn't use to keep you in all your ways, but he says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Just flick. But then Jesus flipped that script and turned the word right back at him. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, the enemy will use a word against you. That's why we, as men and women of God, we have got to be careful. We have got to be very, very careful. God gave us this 91st Psalm for a purpose and a reason, to let us know we are covered. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We are covered by the word of God. We are covered by his wings. We are his children. And he loves us more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever think. He calls us by name. He will give his angels charge of me. He will keep me in perfect peace. We got to know who our Father is. We can't play with God. And, you know, the 91st Psalm will take you to that place. Take me to that place, or to that secret place where I can be with you, as the psalmist said. I want to be in his wings. And it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or nor of the arrow that flies by day. Sometimes, Dr. Stanley tells us, it will feel as if our nights are filled with terror, and that we do have figurative arrows flying at us by day. Yet when we find our security in the Lord, they do not have the by our intimidator. He is our safety, and in him we find rest. In him we find rest. We got to trust God. In all things, we've got to trust him, and we got to know that the enemy will do his best to mess you up if given opportunity. He will try to take you down that path. He will try to mess you up. He will try to keep you off, knock you off your square, that you are wondering, Lord, what happened to me? What happened? Where, what, Lord? What's going on? Help me, Jesus. The enemy is throwing everything at you, including the kitchen sink, to knock you off your square, to mess you up, and then will come and flip the script and change the word. And you're like, but Lord, your word, no, that's not from God. That's not from God. And you have to be careful. You have got to be careful, because the devil is a lie and there's no truth in him. But he knows the word of God, and that's how they sneak into the house of God. When you hear a word, take a scripture, and we'll say this. You know, you can commit suicide. God has sent his angels to protect you. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Anybody to commit suicide. But then that's what the devil was trying to do, to tell Jesus, oh, you jump off. They got you. They shall bear you up. They shall bear you up. And Jesus is like, who are you? I know you are. I know who you are. I know who you are. You know, and I'm coming from Luke chapter 4, so for those who are like, what is she talking about? So when you go to Luke chapter 4, Jesus had just come from being on the fast, and the enemy comes at him. And it says this, you know, I'm changing a little bit, because this is all part of the 91st Psalm and all part of flesh. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what this is all about. We shall live by the word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. But it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from him. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The 91st Psalm, and try to use it against you. But then Jesus came right back, and Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed him until an opportune time. Understand, the devil is slick. He will take your flesh. He will mess you up. He will use a scripture against you. Don't listen to those words spoken by those who do not know the Lord. They will have you all twisted up. And then when we go back to the 91st Psalm, verse 15, life lesson says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. In prayer, we connect our need to God's supply. We bring our emptiness to God's fullness and ask him to satisfy us. Our deficits are no match for his abundance, and our cries find a home in his ear. And when we go back to verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. We serve an awesome and mighty God. When you are going through, go to the 91st Psalm. Open it up and let it absorb in your spirit. And remember this word, this 91st Psalm. It's what the enemy used against Jesus to tempt him to commit suicide. And he will use it also against God's people. And we have got to be careful. Watch as well as pray. Because we know that the devil is outside roaring like a mighty lion. But we know he is not going to win. There's only one God. And he knows your name. He knows my name, and he loves us. He loves us. And he shall cover us in his feathers, and under his wings we can take refuge. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. We shall not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrows that fly in the day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. We know the enemy walks in darkness. He keeps us in his marvelous light. We got to say thank you, God. We have to know who we belong to. And as we go into our 22nd Proverbs, chapter, starting at verse 12, it says, the eye of the Lord preserves knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless. We got to understand God gives us everything we need. All we have to do is open up his word. He sends protection in his word. He says, the lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the street. The mouth of an immoral woman, a deep pit. He who is abhorred by the Lord will fall there. You don't want to go, I don't know about that God thing. I don't know. Ooh, man, ain't she fine? Hey, you going to go to church, man. I'm going over here to down to Boo Boo Nim's house, you know, Boo Boo's sister. Y'all that. I know they call her Hella, but you know.
yeah, you know what I mean, man.
Of an immoral woman is a deep pit. He who abhors by the Lord will fall there. If you don't want to be a part of God, you wonder why you're going down the wrong road, why all of a sudden you went down to Boo Boo Moon's house and hung out with Ella and you wind up in hell. Because now you don't know what happened. But, Then that shrew comes out. Can't keep her tongue behind her teeth, calling you everything but a child of God. Shacking up, doing every kind of thing. Because you decided to go left instead of going right with God. We got to be careful. This is foolishness. And this is for our children and for us as children of God. Is bound up in the heart of a child. Yeah. You gotta think this through, parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, TTs, all of us. Of God. Wonder why we getting towed up from the flow up. Because we were foolish. A child. This foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. God will put that rod of correction on us. Wonder what is going on. You getting the rod of correction because you have been acting foolish. And your daddy God is tearing you up because he wants you to walk the right way and do the right thing. Come on now. We can't be in flesh. We got to know. So then those who are in flesh cannot please God. What will he do? Put that rod of correction on you. God don't play. He wants us in his wings. He wants us to know where we have shelter from the storms of life. He wants us to know, I know you. I know your name, Bridget. I know every hair on your head, from the gray ones to the black ones. I know who you are. I love you because you belong to me. We got to know who we belong to. Don't let the flesh make you think there is no God. Don't let the flesh make you think that you can do it all and you've done it all yourself. Nothing I've done has been me. It's all been him. We got to, just lift our hands and say, Lord, I give me to you. And Sister Carol would say, we got to get on them knees. And we got to push. We got to pray until something happens. You don't know what anyone has been through. Keep your tongue behind your teeth. You don't know what anybody is going through. To learn how to trust God and pray for those that have done some stuff to us. That's hard. As our prayer this morning, we got to get out of the flesh and we got to get into God and give ourselves away so he can use us. And it says in Romans 6, chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, come on y'all, was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Why, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We got to die to flesh so that we can be alive with God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. But sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. But just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of law and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. But when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. And it says in the life lesson for Romans 6 and 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Paul cannot imagine why anyone who genuinely loves Christ would want to live for the very sins that caused Jesus his life. How could any real believer glory in what God abhors? Romans 6 and 6, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Before we came to Christ, sin had a chokehold on our lives, and we couldn't do nothing but serve it as its obedient slave. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, however, we gain the power to live for God. Can we say praise the Lord? Romans 6 and 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. One day the sin that still dwells in our unredeemed bodies will be eradicated. Until then, we are to draw power of the Spirit to put to death the sin that still wants to express itself. God, for his glory. What a mighty God we say. And then again, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God living in the flesh. And as we go into Romans chapter 7, it says, or do you not know, brethren? But I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. But the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. That's that death to us part. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law so that she has no adulteress. So she has married another man. Therefore, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. But when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were led by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Ten Commandments, number 10. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. But to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. But the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, the law. And I'm like, okay, God, help me to understand what it just read. And then God said, okay, Dr. Stanley, got you, girlfriend. You know, and so I go back to the life lesson. And Dr. Stanley, he kind of breaks it down a little bit. He said, the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. The word of God reveals to us the character of God, his holiness, righteousness, justice, goodness, kindness, and more. As a reflection of him, the word both celebrates his perfect nature and reveals to us our own fallen nature. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then Dr. Stanley tells us in Romans 7 and 15, what I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Since all of us can relate to the fierce internal struggle that Paul describes. Until we stand in Jesus' presence, we will all experience this battle. The only way to win is by joyfully tapping into the Spirit's overcoming power. We have a struggle. Sin, flesh, godliness. Flesh, godliness. Living in the flesh, living the godly life. God wants us to walk in righteousness. And it says in Romans 7:18, to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. We simply do not have the power by ourselves to do what pleases God. Even that we do, in our own strength, make us prideful and dishonoring to God. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'm doing this, that, and the other. What we do because it's the right thing, and it comes from God, not from flesh. You know, so many times we got to be careful that flesh is not taking over godliness. That what we're doing is not in the flesh for self-grandizement, but what we do is for God in righteousness. You know, we got to kick the flesh to the curb because flesh will take you down a road you don't want to go. It will knock you completely in darkness, and you can see your square of light, and you can work and work and work trying to get back, but you got to fight all kind of spirits to get there. We got to ask God, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse my home, cleanse my life, cleanse my spirit. Lord, remove flesh, Holy Spirit. And as we go into Romans chapter 8, and it says in Romans chapter 8, we got a lot of Romans chapter 8 today and tomorrow. But in today's word, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the what? Flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. But those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But the carnality minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That himself dwells with, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Woo, what a word, what a word, what a word this morning. And as we go back to verse number 8, which is where our title comes from this morning. And it says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We got to get out of self and get into God. And as we go back to our word this morning, Dr. Stanley gave us answers to life questions, so you might want to get a pen and paper for this. And he said this: one day the gospel made sense to you and you placed your faith in Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins. You felt thrilled with the new life and marveled that many of the ungodly things you once did had lost their attraction. Perhaps you even thought you had conquered every spirit's sinful impulse. After all, Romans 8:2 promises, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then you stumble badly. A new temptation or a new set of trials brought to light some area of your life that you thought you had whipped. You felt confused, ashamed, maybe even alarmed. Perhaps you wondered, how could this happen? I thought I was supposed to be free from sin. The truth is, Jesus has set us free from sin, but it is a kind of freedom that sets us free from ourselves. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, he means that God has broken his selfish individuality and united his spirit with his Lord. He truly became one with Jesus, and therefore he had many of the same resources available to him that Jesus enjoyed on this earth. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are one with him. His likeness and holiness are present within your life. The very power that enabled Jesus to resist all temptation dwells within you. Still, there remains within your mortal body an impulse to sin, a sin nature that must be surrendered to God. So Paul writes, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Yet we, and that's Romans 7 and 18, yet we are not stranded in this barren place. But Paul also says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and 20. Through faith, we access God's power to overcome our sinful impulse. A little later in Galatians, the apostle explains it in slightly different terms. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Galatians 5 and 16. We receive Jesus' gift of freedom only by exercising faith in God. We must believe that he can remove ungodly strongholds within our hearts and that he continuously works to make us free from all sin and bondage. Our responsibility is to say no to sin and yes to God as we trust him to provide the all-encompassing liberty that our souls crave. Romans 8 and 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's our title for this morning. Since the flesh naturally puts itself first and does everything it can to honor itself, nothing done in the flesh can honor or please God. We please God only when we depend on him to do through us what we cannot. We got to call on the name of Jesus. I've had my time where I have just sat and just spoke and talked to God. Because understand, as Paul said, I don't have a fleshly husband. My husband is the Father. Who says you have God, your husband, and then you? I don't have that in between. So I have only God. God is my husband. God is my best friend. God is my BFF, my best friend forever. God is my absolute. When I have a question, I go to God. Whatever it has to be, that is who I talk it over with. Because that's the one in charge of my life. We got to understand. We got to have that confidant, that friend forever, that we can talk everything over with and know that our business will not be discussed in the streets. Because God knows how to keep what you say to him just within you and him. Because he's not flesh. He's God. Romans 8 and 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Grace does not change the nature of sin. Sin leads to death always. Grace never makes sin less deadly. Instead, grace enables us to rely on the power of the Spirit to put death our sinful urges and desires. Praise the Lord, somebody, that you've been delivered from whatever it is that God said, not today, Satan. Keep it moving. You are not tempting my child. You're not tempting my daughter. You're not tempting my son. No, the lustfulness of Hella down at Boo Boo and them, she can stay right where she is because this man is a man of God and he ain't going down to Boo Boo's house. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever because he is put by my Holy Spirit. Come on now. Romans 8 and 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The Bible never minimizes our difficulties, our sufferings. It magnifies the rewards that accompany our flesh, that accompany our faith, not our flesh. It doesn't say you don't really hurt, but instead declares you'll feel far better than you ever have. Heal his children. Whether you're healed in this world or the next, we will be healed. God loves us like that. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please. The moral of this story today is we got to trust God. Get out of self and get into God. And as we go into Sister Carolyn's words for this weekend, you know, on yesterday, I had to send back a yes, Lord. Sister Carolyn was all up in it. And it, again, everything all comes together. Everything God gives her just seems to fit perfectly within the lessons that God has given us. It says, God has not forgotten you. You will bounce back from every setback and negative situation you are experiencing. Your story has already been written. Your final scene has been shot. You don't end. I had to do a little shout myself yesterday. You know, I was to a sermon, by the pastor of Fellowship Christian Church in Chicago, and his title was "I Want to Dance with Somebody." You know, and you're thinking, "Ooh, that sounds so fleshly." You know, Whitney Houston. Okay. You know, but then when he got into the Word and he talked about how we got to dance for the Lord, and we cannot sit in judgment of anybody's praise because you don't know what they've been through. And I get Sister Carolyn's words, and I'm like, Lord, I danced all over my bedroom for Jesus yesterday morning before I ever went to church at 8 o'clock for a meeting. And I was like, Lord, I was filled up when I got there. And then, you know, we go into the Word. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's curling all up in it. The righteous run to it. And I say, Proverbs 18:10. Again, just like the 91st Psalm, go to the 18th Proverbs. When you just need that understanding that God is our safety. God is our absolute. He is the propitiation of faith that we can shed this flesh because we know we will be with the Lord. So when our time is coming, don't be afraid. Rejoice, for you will be with God when you know that you have said, not today. Flesh, be gone, because I am spiritual being trusting in my Father. And he loves me, and he knows my name. He talks with me, he walks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Whew, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Don't get caught up in the fleshly things of this world. Get caught up in Jesus and watch God work in your life. You know, something happened to me, and I thought, okay, God, you know I got this, that, and the other. And then God said, check such and such. And I check. I'm like, wow, God, look at you. And then God said, but no, you know what this is for. You got to put this aside and put this here and put this there. And now, okay, you good daughter. But trust me. And I'm trusting God that he will make the road straight. Trust God. And if you say Bible believing, Bible teaching church, I know one I attended, and it's called Table of Life Ministry. 2600 South 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois. Come visit with us if you're in the vicinity. Because I will tell you, you will truly find the love, peace, and joy of the Lord, who is your strength. We love, we feed the spirit, and we feed the body. Come visit with us. My pastor is Pastor Justin Herring, who is a woman of God. And I tell you, she will give you a word from God, not of flesh, but of God. So anyone that would like to speak, now's the time. We're about to wrap up. As I pray us out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day, remembering the word, so me and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So remember, we want to please God, who is our everything. Thank you so much for listening in this morning, for going there with me in the 91st Psalm that I'm feeling still in my spirit. Remember, God loves you more than you can ever imagine. Love him too. Because he's always there. You can talk to him about anything and everything. And guess what? He don't tell your business. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Got to go to church, y'all. We got Sunday school. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. It's a wrap.